Lewis Lau is our guest for this half hour, director of the investments group at Brandis Investment Partners. So a lot of a downward push today. We had strong commentary again from Fed officials, and the earnings not looking so good. It's pretty tough to be positive here, Lewis. How are you thinking through it?
Yeah, I think the markets are in for a difficult time in the next 6 months. I think the Fed is going up against the strength of the U.S. labor market and the strength of the U.S. consumer. And at some point, one of these things is going to crack. And so until we see a pause in the Fed, I think it's difficult to be constructive, except maybe for defensive sectors like healthcare.
It's quite something, Lewis, when you know you had Loretta Mester just talking and saying that she would carry on increasing the cost of borrowing, hiking rates, even if the U.S. economy was in a recession. You know, the thing is, how much pain are they really willing to tolerate?
You know, I think you might see the unemployment rate go up from 3% to maybe around 5%, which is a pretty big increase in a short amount of time. I mean, you've seen mortgage rates go to 6 to 7%, which is something that, you know, has rarely been seen. And so I think, unfortunately, a lot of the global central banks are leaning on the inflation fight and less on supporting the economy because they think they have room. But until we get to that point of weakness, I don't think the central banks are going to blink. But again, it just depends on how fast we get to that point of weakness.
What do you make of Jim Bullard's comments about, quote, the market's getting the message? Is the Fed openly targeting markets?
You know, there's been a pretty big adjustment in expectations in the last 1 or 2 weeks about how long inflation is going to be. I think right now expectations are inflation might not slow down until 2024. The previous expectation is 2023, and the markets were expecting sometime in 2023 that the Fed might start to reduce rates, but it might not be until 2024. So I think that adjustment that Jim is talking about has been happening pretty quickly in the last week.
Okay, well, you know, with all that in mind, you know, what happens next? I mean, where are we in the whole cycle, if you will?
Yeah, I think we may be in the early innings. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, we're not seeing enough of a quantum of analyst downgrades, especially on S&P 500 earnings. I think there's still some growth from this year to next year. We're seeing some analysts cut estimates, but not as much as what a recession might imply, right? So I think until you see that, there may be more downside for U.S. equities.
Yeah, when you hear Loretta Mester say that real interest rates have to be in positive territory and then held for a time, you know, that's very bad or very tough for risk assets.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because if the expectation is that even in 2024, inflation comes down to 3.5 to 4, and you have the Fed funds rate at 4.75, that's only 0.75% of real interest rates. And usually that amount is about 2 to 3% of real interest rates in most markets, including the U.S., where we used to be from a historical standpoint. So we're quite far from that very positive real rate scenario that has been discussed.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis, for sticking around with us. Let's have a look at what we are seeing in this part of the world in terms of your equity strategy. You know, what are you looking at in terms of perhaps regionally as well as some of the industry groups?
Yeah, sure. So I think in terms of regions and countries, where we see more resilience and less likelihood of a recession would be Southeast Asia, that is still expected to be benefiting from reopening after COVID. And then one bright spot, maybe the only strong growth market left in Asia, is India. So those are the areas where we think there is opportunity. But we will also caution against being too negative against China, because historically, after the Party Congress, the government has always refocused back on economic growth.
Mm. Is it too early to look for bottoms in some sectors? I know you mentioned China internet could be looking reasonable.
Yeah, we think maybe a bottom has been reached, because if you look at sentiment, it's been depressed by delisting fears. But we don't think China would have allowed U.S. accounting inspectors to come that far if they didn't want to strike a deal. So most likely they remain listed. And then if you have an economic and consumption rebound into next year, maybe some COVID restrictions lifting, it could be a pretty good rebound year for China Internet for next year.
Yeah, the thing is, you always seem to have this regulatory overhang over parts of the market there, don't you, Lewis? And the thing is, this is an administration which really has turned its back on the private sector in many industry groups. This is the overhang, surely.
Yes, and I think a lot of it had to do with political risks and challengers coming from the private sector, challenging the party ahead of the 20th Party Congress. But I think once that is over, then the political risk of supporting the private sector goes away, and then the focus could shift back to the economy as it has been historically. But I agree with you, Richard. I mean, this regulatory phase has gone on much longer and much deeper than any one of us have expected.
Yeah, it's been a good 18 months or so. This particular party Congress, obviously leadership and politics, so will take center stage, perhaps a little over the economy. But you say that you do expect a pro-economic growth mindset for next year. Will we have to wait till March, or might we get some signs of that out of this Congress?
You know, it was a good sign that they brought forward the party congress date to October 16, which was the earliest possible date. So I think they want to get some of the political appointments out of the way. But I think one of the reasons that we might have to wait until next March is because if there's a domestic mRNA vaccine that gets rolled out in November or December, it's going to take a good quarter or so, one or two quarters, to get more of the population vaccinated before they can reopen. So that's one reason. And the other reason is that the People's Congress, which is kind of the broader appointments of the government officials in the next tier, only takes place in March. So to your concern, I'm also worried about the next 6 months, that there might not be a lot of good news coming out of China in the next 6 months.
Mm. Well, tell me something, Lewis, as well. I mean, do we have any precedents of, you know, what the priorities are going to be for the same administration, but its third iteration, as it were? And, you know, how much will you be looking at who's appointed in terms of the top posts for guidance?
Yeah, I think one of the things to look out for is, you know, within the Politburo, you know, how many members, you know, are loyal to Xi that have been installed. That represents an increase from maybe like the four or so friendly members of the Politburo from the last political cycle. The other issue is also kind of key appointments in the military to see what degree of preparations you know, the government is making for to handle the issue of Taiwan from a military standpoint. So those are some of the political and military moves that we're watching. Again, it doesn't bear much economic significance, but those are maybe some of the things to watch for changes.
Lewis, in 5 seconds, will the Hang Seng get a bit of a break with the quarantine and other COVID restrictions lifted very quickly?
Yes, I think it will.
That's exactly the length of time I wanted as the answer. Lewis, thank you so much for joining us. Lewis Lau there, Director of Investment Group at Brandis Investment Partners. This is Bloomberg.